Thank you, Ambassador. You might like to know that we have a very extensive session on alternative fuels on the last day, and we hope you'll be there and find out perhaps a bit more during that time about the Brazilian biofuels industry. Thank you for that. Next up is representing or putting forward a European perspective is Philip Good from the European Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Sojourner. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you all today, and thank you very much to ICAO for inviting me to be here with you. I think the subject of this conference is very topical. Climate change has taken on an increasingly high profile over recent years. I think the sight we saw in Copenhagen of world leaders getting together and directly negotiating on one single issue, such as climate change, is fairly unprecedented. And I think, in my mind, this demonstrates a couple of key points. First, it underlines the seriousness of the situation and the urgency with which we need to find some solutions. But secondly, the ongoing nature of the discussions highlight the complexities we have of solving the problems and finding ways forwards. So when reflecting on climate change in the context of international aviation, I feel in some ways these challenges are a bit magnified due to the characteristics of the sector and the place of aviation in the world economy. However, the very fact that we're here today is encouraging, and it shows that there are opportunities to move forward. I think politically we're now in a situation where there is a very clear recognition of the need to prevent the risk of climate change happening, and if we're to achieve this objective, significant reductions in emissions are necessary. For example, in Europe, European Union leaders have very recently recognised that total emissions in Europe need to decline by between 80 and 95% from 1990 levels within 40 years. Such reductions are unprecedented and will require massive decarbonisation of all forms of economic activity over the coming years. Aviation is one part of economic activity, so a key challenge for making aviation sustainable, as the focus of this session is now, will be to find a route to decarbonise the sector. I think that's quite clear. With international aviation, we have a situation where emissions have been growing steadily, and all forecasts suggest that the trend will continue. In the EU, for example, international aviation emissions have doubled since 1990, and further growth is forecast. We will undoubtedly hear more about these trends over the next 3 days, but I recently saw estimates that globally aviation emissions may increase by a factor of between 2 and 4 times by 2050, even taking into account improvements in technology and fuel efficiency. I also remember seeing a recent study related to one EU member state, and this was suggesting that aviation emissions could account for over a quarter of total allowable greenhouse gas emissions for that state in 2050. With that sort of trend possible, the visibility of aviation emissions will therefore continue to increase, and the need for the sector to become more sustainable will become ever more important. So, what then is the best way forward, and what would my action plan be? Given the scale of the challenge, it seems to me that the action plan needs to be comprehensive and wide-ranging. All kinds of measures should be pursued. Nothing should be ruled out at this stage. I foresee a number of key areas where action for focus. First, and very fundamentally, I think we need to have some emissions targets. Effective goals are fundamental to focus our action and to measure our progress. Setting these goals should become a major priority. Second, there is very clearly a role for technology. Increased innovation in engine and airframe technology will be necessary to further boost the efficiency and reduce climate impacts of flying. Given the timescales involved in the development of new aircraft and the long lifetime of in-service aircraft, this is an area that can take some time to feed through into emissions reductions. Technology is not therefore a quick win, but it's an essential foundation of a comprehensive package of measures. There is also a clear need to optimise air traffic management and ensure efficient use of infrastructure. Enabling air traffic to operate efficiently as possible is an obvious choice to reduce emissions. Programmes such as CESAR in Europe and NextGen in the US are important to ensure efficient flight routings and to reduce fuel consumption. This will not, however, result in substantial decarbonisation, let's be honest, and so additional measures will be required. What else? I think there's a role for emission standards. It's very welcome the work that has been initiated by ICAO's CAPE in developing a CO2 airframe standard. such standards, if well designed, can support in driving efficiencies in driving improvements in fuel efficiencies and the uptake of more advanced technology. I think if you look at other transport sectors, similar standards have been very important in driving the technological development there. So I think the same can be the case for aviation. But remember, as with some of the other technology-related measures, the long lead times in aviation mean that it will take some years before the full benefits of emission standards are realised. We've heard today about sustainable biofuels. I agree, I think this is another area for action. They can significantly save significant levels of greenhouse gas emissions. However, it's very sensitive to the feedstock and production pathways used, as well as the fundamental assumptions used in calculating the savings. There's some key concerns, such as the potential climate impacts of direct and indirect land use change from production of biofuels that need to be addressed. In the short term, current biofuels are likely to offer only a small potential for reducing emissions. Greater savings could be achievable in the medium term as advanced feedstocks and production processes become more mature. Due to the potential limits of biomass resource availability, in the longer term, there may be some logic in focusing biofuel use on key transport sectors with limited alternatives for abatement. Aviation would therefore be a key candidate, but so could other sectors such as shipping and also long-range road freight. Therefore, I think there will continue to be competition for the use of biofuels amongst the transport modes. Another area that should be considered in the action plan is modal shift. This is probably not a popular option to consider for an aviation-based audience like this, but I think as modal shift results in stopping operating some types of flights. However, some substitution of flights with other forms of travel should be considered as part of an action plan. A viable option would be shifting certain short-haul flights to high-speed rail networks so as to reduce emissions. This has already happened in a couple of places in Europe. So when future high-speed rail links are being planned, it would be important to ensure that major airports are connected to the network so that onward travel connections can easily be made. There is also clearly a need for market-based measures to limit climate impacts of aviation. From an economic perspective, pricing correctly the emissions of aviation should be an important tool in making air travel more sustainable. Including aviation in a system that caps emissions provides certainty that the overall environmental impacts of the sector are being managed. It also provides a framework to enable the aviation sector to continue to develop in an increasingly carbon-constrained world. A market-based system open to other sectors enables growth in aviation emissions to be offset by reductions elsewhere, providing aviation with low-cost abatement opportunities. These could be much more effective than seeking abatement in the sector itself. I think also a carbon price has some other benefits. It should also accelerate the uptake of lower carbon aviation technology by reducing payback periods and strengthening the business case for fuel-saving investments. Furthermore, a carbon price could also be important in accelerating the uptake of sustainable biofuels. It could enable them to compete more effectively with fossil fuels by providing additional financial incentive for their use. Finally, I think that there is a need for continued scientific research into the non-CO2 climate impacts of aviation. This is because there is increasing concern about climate impacts of factors such as NOx emissions, contrails and cirrus cloud formation from aviation. Therefore, further research is necessary to support the development of policy measures that can be introduced to address these impacts. So, to sum up, my vision of an action plan for aviation would have to have the following characteristics. First, I think it needs to be comprehensive, covering a wide range of activities. Second, it needs to be inclusive, so that all stakeholders contribute to achieving the goals. Third, it needs to be robust and credible. It needs to have some clear environmental ambition. And finally, I think it needs to start now. The scale of the problem is large, so we don't have time to waste. So I'd like to thank you for attention, and I'm sure that we'll have some very interesting discussions on these issues over the next few days of the conference, and I look forward to participating in the debates.